Hello, my name is Lisa Froland, and I'm with the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists. Today, I will be talking about the evaluation of epidemiology capacity in state health departments from 2004 to 2009. And similar to Lauren, who just presented, she focused on foodborne capacity, whereas I'm going to look at sort of overall epi capacity across all program areas. I do not have any financial relationships to disclose. Every few years, CSTE assesses the epidemiology workforce through the Epidemiology Capacity Assessment, or ECA. This presentation will focus on the longitudinal results from 2004 to 2009. We assessed state health departments in 2004, 2006, and 2009. As a result of the 2004 and 2006 ECAs, CSTE focuses its workforce priorities and activities on strengthening the public health system in four priority areas. These four priority areas are measuring epidemiology capacity, establishing the applied CDC CST epidemiology competencies and addressing training needs, identifying barriers to recruitment and retention, and addressing funding gaps and leadership issues in epidemiology. The 2009 ECA was distributed electronically to all 50 states, DC, and 8 territories. Due to receiving responses from only 2 of the 8 territories, they've been excluded from this analysis as well as the discussion of results today. All 50 states and DC responded to the 2009 ECA. Both state EPIs and individual state epidemiologists were asked to complete individual assessments regarding their academic background, training, program area expertise, funding support, experience level, retirement plans, as well as self-assessing their competency level. Epidemiologist was defined as in all ECAs using last 2001 definition. Respondents were asked to be counted as epidemiologists in state health departments only if they could perform functions consistent with this definition and were instructed to focus on the role and functions performed rather than job title. 50 states and DC reported employing or contracting around 2,200 epidemiologists in 2009. This is the equivalent to 0.72 per 100,000 population. States estimated a need of an additional 68% increase to 1.2 EPIs per 100,000 population to reach full capacity in all program areas. 54% of epidemiologists completing the individual assessment reported their highest degree obtained, which may or may not be in epidemiology, to be either an MPH or master's degree. 17% had a PhD or DRPH, 12% had a bachelor's degree, 11% had an MD or DO degree, 3% had a DVM, with the remainder associates or no post-high school degree, RN or nursing or DDS with less than 1%. The total number of epidemiologists has actually decreased by 12% from 2004 to 2009 in this second column here. Whereas the estimated additional need is greatest in 2009, which is consistent with the lowest actual number reported in 2009 as being employed. The optimal number of epidemiologists is in the last column, which represents the sum of both these columns, the number of EPIs as well as the additional need. This graph shows the average percent received from funding sources as reported by states. We have federal, state, and other sources listed. In blue, 2004, red, 2006, and in green, 2009. In 2009, federal funding makes up an average of 75% of state's epidemiology program funding and 23% from state funds. Federal funding has increased by 8% during the past 3 ECAs, from 67% to 75%, while state funding has remained level around 23% or so, and other funding sources remain negligible. In 2004, we asked states to provide data on their overall technological capacity. We did not do this in 2004 or 2006, so we only have 2009 data available. 27 states had fully functional electronic laboratory reporting, or ELR, and of those, 10 states had expanded the number of conditions they were able to receive through ELR. 21 states had web-based disease reporting systems with automated entry for case reporting, and 5 states were planning that capability. 90% of states are able to input case reports into a NIDS compliant database, and 48 states are either have or are working towards making electronic medical records useful for public health purposes. This is a subset of the CDC CSTE applied epidemiology competencies that are most relevant to this presentation. There are a lot more. If you want to reference them, you can go to our website. State epidemiologist responses from the 2006 ECA were compared to the responses of the 2009 ECA for staff competencies. The percentage of state EPIs who agreed that their staff were competent in any given competency showed very few striking changes between these 2 years. Only three competencies did the percentage change by 5 percentage points or more. These are highlighted in yellow on the slide. All three of these improved from 2006 to 2009. To conduct evaluation of surveillance systems went from 39 to 55%. Use of knowledge of environmental and behavioral sciences MP practice, 35 to 43%. And to convene and provide appropriate data for communicating planning processes, 39 to 47%. So we're seeing an increase in competency. This graph shows the surveillance and epidemiology capacity by program area. Again, we have the 3 years, 2004, 2006, and 2009. And at the bottom, just for your reference, ID is infectious disease, chronic disease, maternal child health, bioterrorism emergency response, environmental health, injury, occupational health, and oral health. From 2004 to 2009, program area capacity declined in bioterrorism emergency response and in oral health. Program capacity seen moderate stability, or maybe even a slight increase from 04 to 09, in maternal and child health, you can see sort of the increase here, environmental health, injury, and occupational health. Chronic disease capacity increased between 2004 and 2006, but then we saw a decline between 2006 and 2009. And infectious disease capacity has shown a moderate increase from 04 to 09. This graph shows the percentage of the state health departments in DC reporting both substantial to full capacity, defined as 50 to 100%, and minimal to no capacity, defined as 0 to 50%. We have 2 years represented here, 2006 and 2009, and we have four essential public health services most closely related to epidemiology on the x-axis. And these are the same on both sides of the graph. For essential public health service number one, to monitor health status to identify and solve community health problems, the percentage of health departments that could provide substantial full capacity dropped substantially in 2009. There have been several states with minimal to no capacity in this area in each assessment, increasing slightly between 2006 and 2009. For the second essential public health service, diagnose and investigate health problems and health hazards in the community, the percentage of health departments that could provide substantial full capacity in this area has fluctuated but remained stable around 63-67%. However, the percentage of states that reported minimal to no capacity increased to 10%, its highest level measure thus far. The Essential Public Health Service related to evaluating effectiveness, accessibility, and quality of personal and population-based health. The states that could provide substantial to full dropped significantly to 14% in 2009. In concert with that drop, we saw an increase in the minimal to no capacity states to its highest level, 31%. For the last essential public health service, number 10, research for new insights and innovative solutions to health problems, only a small percentage of health departments reported having substantial to full capacity in this area. However, capacity has progressively increased from 2001 to 2009, and we saw 18% in 2009. So this graph shows, again, we have the program areas on the x-axis. In blue, we have substantial to full capacity, again, defined as 50 to 100%, and minimal to no in red. And this is the percentage of states reporting EPI and surveillance capacity by program area. The extent of health departments' EPI and surveillance capacity varied by program area. For four program areas, infectious disease, bioterrorism, MCH, and chronic disease, the majority of respondents indicated substantial to full capacity. For three program areas, the majority of states reported minimal to no. That was in occupational health, substance abuse, and oral health. So in conclusion, though we're seeing an erosion in epidemiology capacity, there's a smaller workforce that is well-trained and highly competent in key areas. Reductions in federal public health funding, as well as state funding related to the national recession that began in September 2008, might be strong contributing factors. In 2004, CDC and CST focused on developing and implementing epidemiology competencies to address workforce training needs, and the results of that effort can be seen in the competent workforce today. However, with current epidemiology staffing at 0.72 epis per 100,000 population, the nation is still below the recommended ratio of 1 epi per 100,000 as recommended by Bolton et al. The estimated need for an additional 1,500 epidemiologists across all program areas is an indication that states are severely understaffed. Many states do not have the technological capacity to conduct surveillance in the 21st century. They are lacking automated ELR and web-based provider reporting, resulting in less timely and less complete reporting overall. New surveillance technologies that are coming out will demand new competencies from our epidemiology workforce to enable them to collect, manage, and utilize this electronic data stream from electronic medical records and laboratory reports. We are currently conducting a rapid assessment to determine the effect of budget cuts, layoffs, early retirement incentives, and other measures states are taking in response to the fiscal crisis. And these are my references, the last definition, if you want to see it, as well as the Bolton recommendation of 1 epi per 100,000 population. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Matt Bolton, James Hadler, Angela Beck, and Maureen Lickfield. Thank you.